A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about the art of the cold pitch for job seekers and freelancers. The core tension is this. Somewhere between 70 and 80% of jobs never hit a public job board, yet most people spend all their energy fighting over the 20% that do. Cold pitching flips that ratio, but inboxes are noisier than ever, and AI-generated outreach has made the signal-to-noise problem genuinely brutal. So, the question is, how do you structure cold outreach that actually gets read? How do you keep those relationships warm over time? And how do you track it all without losing your mind?
Let me start with a number that frames the whole problem. Recruiters and hiring managers are getting somewhere between 200 and 500 unsolicited emails per week. That's from a GEM survey in 2025. And most of those are templated, generic, instantly recognizable as mass sent. The bar isn't just about being seen anymore, it's about surviving the 7-second scan. That's the average time a recruiter spends deciding whether to delete or read. So the entire game is compressing enough value into a tiny window that someone decides, against all their instincts, to keep going. Think of it like a street performer trying to catch the attention of someone walking past with headphones in and a coffee in each hand. You've got to blink.
Which means the first thing we should say is that most cold pitches fail not because the person isn't qualified, but because the pitch is about them and not about the company. It's a biography when it should be a diagnosis.
And that's where I want to introduce the structural framework that actually works. I've looked at hundreds of successful cold pitches across different industries, and the ones that get replies almost all follow the same 4-sentence model. Sentence 1 is a contextual hook, something specific about the company, not generic praise. Not, I've always admired your work, something that proves you did your homework in the first 12 words.
I noticed your engineering blog hasn't been updated in 6 months.
That's the one. And I want to pause on why that works, because it's counterintuitive. Most people think a cold pitch should start with a compliment, but generic compliments are cheap. A specific observation, even one that points at a gap or a problem, signals that you've actually spent time looking at their stuff. It says, I'm not sending this to 50 companies, and that signal alone can buy you the next 3 sentences.
There's a psychological principle here called the pratfall effect. People find competence more appealing when it's paired with a small imperfection. But in this context, I think it's less about imperfection and more about specificity, as intimacy. The stranger who knows your blog hasn't been updated in 6 months feels less like a stranger. They've been paying attention. That's flattering, even if the observation itself is slightly critical.
Sentence 2 is your value proposition, one concrete way you'd solve a problem they likely have. Sentence 3 is social proof, but specific proof, a result, a number, a before and after. Not, I'm a hard worker with great communication skills. If you can't point to a specific outcome you've driven, you haven't done enough work to earn the pitch yet. Sentence 4 is a low-friction ask, a 15-minute call. Not let me know if anything opens up. That's the whole model. 4 sentences, no more, no less.
The ask matters more than people think. Let me know if anything opens up is the conversational equivalent of a limp handshake. It puts all the work on them. A 15-minute call is a defined container. It has a beginning and an end. It's easier to say yes to. You're essentially saying, I'm asking for a tiny, bounded slice of your attention, rather than, I'm asking you to manage my job search for me.
Because it respects their time. And that's the subtext of the entire 4-sentence model. Every word signals, I know you're busy, so I'm not going to waste a single second of your attention. The structure itself is a demonstration of your ability to prioritize and communicate clearly. If you can't edit yourself down to 4 sentences, why would they trust you to edit yourself in a client meeting or a team email?
Let's talk about the biggest structural trap, which is the open hiring need framing. Most people write cold pitches that essentially say, do you have a job for me? That's asking for something that probably doesn't exist. The better move is to pitch a project, a problem, or a gap you've identified. You're not asking to fill a seat. You're pointing at something broken and saying, I can fix that.
That reframe changes everything. When you pitch a job that doesn't exist, you're a supplicant. When you pitch a problem you can solve, you're a consultant. The power dynamic flips. I saw a case study recently. A product manager cold emailed the VP of product at a Series B startup with a three-bullet analysis of their onboarding flow's drop-off points, including a specific fix. No open role existed. They got a reply in 4 hours and an interview offer within 48 hours.
Because they weren't asking for anything except to be useful. The pitch said, I've already thought about your business harder than most of your employees. That's compelling. And it raises an interesting question. How do you actually find those gaps? Because most people listening are probably thinking, that sounds great, but I don't know how to spot a company's onboarding problems from the outside.
That's a fair question. The answer is, you become a forensic analyst of publicly available information. For a product manager, that means signing up for the product yourself and documenting every moment of friction. For a marketer, it means auditing their content strategy and finding the gaps. For an engineer, it means looking at their open source repos or their tech blog and identifying scaling challenges. The information is almost always there. Most people just never look.
The research isn't about finding something to complement. It's about finding something to fix.
Compare that to the counterexample. A software engineer who sent a 400-word email with their full career history, attached a generic resume, and asked, do you have any openings? Never received a reply. And that's the more common version. That's what most cold pitches look like.
400 words. That's roughly 57 7-second scans.
The other element people get wrong is subject lines. Application for software engineer or interested in opportunities. These are basically spam signals. They tell the recipient, I am sending this exact email to 50 other companies. What works instead are pattern interrupt subject lines. Quick thought on your Q2 hiring challenge. Or your recent post on supply chain, a different angle. Something that references recent company news or a specific observation.
I saw data from a MailChimp meta-analysis. Personalized subject lines that reference recent company news get about 3.2 times higher open rates, which makes intuitive sense. If someone references something I said publicly, I'm going to at least look. It triggers a very specific kind of curiosity. Wait, which post? You've created an open loop in their brain, and the only way to close it is to open the email.
Here's the thing about AI in all of this. Since late 2025, AI-generated outreach has flooded recruiter inboxes. Everyone thought they'd just have ChatGPT write their cold pitches and hit send on 100 of them. The problem is, recruiters have gotten very good at spotting these. There was a Turing test study in January of this year showing recruiters can identify AI-generated text with 89% accuracy. So, the AI-written pitch is now a negative signal. It says, I couldn't be bothered to write this myself.
Which is a fascinating reversal. For a brief window, AI was an edge. Now it's a liability, at least for the final output. The smart play is to use AI as a research assistant, not a ghostwriter. Feed it the company's recent press releases, earnings calls, product launches. Ask it to identify three specific pain points. Then, write the pitch yourself.
That human touch is what cuts through. I have a heuristic I use. I call it the surprise test. If the recipient would be surprised to learn that AI wrote the email, you failed. The pitch should contain something so specific, so clearly the product of a human who spent 30 minutes thinking about this particular company, that no one would ever wonder.
The glockenspiel of corporate approachability. If it sounds like every other email, it is every other email.
I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the trap of the open hiring need framing, because it connects to a deeper misconception. Most people believe cold pitching only works if there's an open role. The truth is, the best cold pitches create roles that didn't exist. They identify a problem the company didn't know they had, or didn't know was solvable by someone like you. The pitch becomes the job description.
It's the difference between asking for a seat at the table and building a new table. Companies are generally bad at articulating their own needs. They know they have problems, but they haven't always translated those problems into headcount. If you can do that translation for them, you've done the hardest part of the hiring manager's job. And I want to put a finer point on that, because it's easy to say companies are bad at articulating their needs, without explaining why. The reason is that most organizations suffer from what I'd call need blindness. When you're inside the machine, you stop seeing the friction. You adapt to the broken onboarding flow. You work around the clunky internal tool. The problems become wallpaper. An outsider can see them in 30 seconds.
And it's why the "I noticed your blog hasn't been updated" hook works. The people inside the company probably know the blog is stale. It's probably been on someone's to-do list for 8 months, but they've stopped seeing it as a solvable problem. It's just a fact of life. When you point at it and say, "I can fix that," you're not just identifying a gap, you're offering relief from a low-grade organizational headache that everyone has been ignoring.
That's where the research phase becomes non-negotiable. Before writing a single word, you need to spend at least 30 minutes understanding the company's current situation. Product reviews, Glassdoor complaints, recent funding announcements, hiring sprees in specific departments. If they just raised a Series A and they're hiring aggressively in engineering but not in design, that's a signal. They probably need design and don't know how to scope it yet.
Or they just launched a new product feature and the support forums are lighting up with the same three complaints. Walk in and say, "I noticed these three complaints. Here's how I'd fix them." That's not a cold pitch. That's a warm solution to a burning problem.
Let me give you another tactical layer on the research phase. One of the highest signal things you can do is read the company's recent job postings. Not to apply, but to reverse engineer their pain points. If they're hiring for a DevOps engineer with Kubernetes experience, they're probably struggling with infrastructure scaling. If they're hiring a content marketer with SEO expertise, their organic traffic might be flat. The job descriptions are a public map of their internal problems.
That's clever. Job postings as competitive intelligence. You're reading the tea leaves of their organizational anxiety.
You can reference that in the pitch indirectly. You don't say, "I saw your job posting for X." You say, "I noticed you're scaling your infrastructure team. Here's a pattern I've seen at three other Series B companies that might save you some pain." It shows you understand the phase they're in. You're not just applying for a job. You're bringing pattern recognition from the broader ecosystem.
There's an analogy here I think is useful. Most cold pitches are like showing up to a dinner party and asking, "What can I eat?" The approach we're describing is more like showing up, noticing the kitchen is chaotic, and quietly starting to chop vegetables. You're not asking for anything. You're making yourself useful, and the host notices.
We've covered the structure. Contextual hook, value proposition, social proof, low friction ask. No attachments, no biography, no AI-generated filler. But even the perfect pitch is worthless if it lands in a black hole. The real magic happens after you hit send.
This is where most people fall apart. They send one great pitch, don't hear back, and conclude cold pitching doesn't work. But cold pitching is a pipeline, not a one-shot, and pipelines need systematic follow-up. The framework I recommend is a 90-day follow-up cadence. After the initial pitch, you send a value-add update every 60 to 90 days. Not just checking in, nobody wants that email. An article relevant to their industry, a tool you built. A trend you spotted that affects their business.
Just checking in is the conversational equivalent of a poke on Facebook in 2009. It communicates neediness without offering anything in return.
The goal is to stay top of mind without being annoying. And the 60 to 90 day window is the sweet spot, long enough that you're not pestering, short enough that they haven't forgotten you. Each follow-up should add one new piece of value. Over 6 months, you've sent 3 or 4 emails, each one making you look more competent and more thoughtful.
Even if they never reply, you're building a reputation in their subconscious. When a role does open up, or when they hear a colleague mention a need, your name surfaces. You've been quietly demonstrating value for months. It's the slow burn strategy. The person who sends one pitch and disappears is forgettable. The person who keeps showing up with something useful every 2 months becomes a known quantity, and hiring managers hire known quantities.
There's another multiplier here that's worth emphasizing. The warm introduction. LinkedIn's 2025 networking study showed that cold pitches referred by a mutual connection get 5 times higher response rates. So before you send a cold pitch, spend 15 minutes finding 2 or 3 people in your network who know someone at the target company. Ask for a 30-second intro.
If you can't get the intro, reference the mutual connection anyway. Jane Smith mentioned you might be interested in this. Even a name drop creates a thin thread of social accountability. They're slightly less likely to ignore you because you exist in the same social graph. It's harder to delete an email from someone who might mention it to Jane at the next happy hour.
The Harvard Business Review did a networking analysis in 2024. Warm outreach via LinkedIn with a mutual connection and a personalized message yields about a 25% response rate. Cold email alone? The difference is almost an order of magnitude, so the 30-second intro request is probably the highest leverage activity in the entire cold pitching workflow.
Which means the pre-pitch phase, the research, the network mapping, the mutual connection hunting is actually more important than the pitch itself. Most people skip it because it's tedious, but that's exactly why it works. The friction is the filter.
Let's talk about the tracking system, because this is the other place where good intentions die. Most people try to manage cold outreach in their email inbox or a scattered spreadsheet, and they lose track of who they contacted, when, and what follow-up is due. You need a CRM light approach. I recommend a simple Notion or Airtable database with columns for company name, contact name, date of first outreach, which pitch version you sent, follow-up dates, response status, and next action.
A recurring weekly review. Sunday evening, 15 minutes. Move leads through the pipeline. Decide who gets a follow-up this week. If you don't schedule the review, the system collapses within 3 weeks. I've seen this happen so many times. Someone gets excited, builds a beautiful tracking system, sends 10 pitches in week 1, and by week 4, the database is a graveyard of unupdated status fields and missed follow-ups. The system is only as good as the recurring review habit.
For higher volume outreach, there are tools like Limlist or MailMeteor that handle open tracking and sequences. But there's a caveat. Apple Mail Privacy Protection, updated in 2025, blocks a lot of tracking pixels. So open rates are increasingly unreliable as a metric. Don't obsess over them. Focus on reply rates instead.
The metric that actually matters. Did a human being type words back to you?
On the AI-assisted tracking side, you can use Claude or ChatGPT to draft follow-up emails based on your notes from the previous interaction. The prompt is something like, here's my last email to this person and their reply. Draft a follow-up that references something specific from their response and adds one new piece of value. That keeps follow-ups personalized without requiring you to reinvent the wheel each time.
Again, the final pass is human. AI drafts, you edit. The surprise test applies to follow-ups too. And I'd argue it applies even more to follow-ups, because follow-ups are where the relationship either deepens or stalls. A generic follow-up undoes all the goodwill you built with the original pitch. It says that first email was a fluke. I'm actually not that thoughtful.
I want to pivot to the freelance angle, because the dynamics shift slightly. For freelancers, cold pitching isn't just a job search tactic. It's a lead generation engine. And the highest converting format I've seen is what I call the diagnostic audit. Instead of pitching your services directly, you pitch a free 30-minute review of their current website, SEO, social strategy, codebase, whatever your domain is, with 3 actionable recommendations.
You're not selling the renovation. You're selling the inspection.
And the conversion rate from audit to paid engagement is striking. Freelance union data from 2025 puts it at 40-60%. Nearly half the people who take the audit end up hiring you for a project. The psychology is straightforward. You've already demonstrated value before any money changes hands. They've seen how you think. The paid engagement feels like a natural next step rather than a leap of faith.
There was a case study I came across. A freelance designer sent a website audit cold pitch to 50 e-commerce brands. 12 replied, 8 took the audit, 5 converted to projects worth $5,000 or more. Total time invested, 6 hours. That's an extraordinary return on time. If you do the math, that's roughly $4,000 per hour of outreach work. And the thing is, those 5 clients probably went on to refer other clients, so the downstream value was even higher.
Once you've done 10 audits, you have a library of common recommendations. You're not starting from scratch each time. The audit framework becomes a reusable asset. You start to see patterns. The same 5 website mistakes across 30 e-commerce brands. The same 3 SEO gaps across SaaS companies. Your audits actually get faster and sharper over time because your pattern recognition improves.
The diagnostic audit also solves the credential problem for freelancers who don't have a portfolio yet. You don't need to prove you've done the work before. You're demonstrating it in real time. The audit is the portfolio. And that's a much harder thing to ignore than a link to a Behance page. Anyone can curate a portfolio. Not everyone can walk into a stranger's business and identify 3 specific, actionable improvements in 30 minutes.
Let me address another misconception that comes up constantly. People assume longer pitches are more persuasive because they show more effort. The opposite is true. Recruiters spend an average of 7 seconds scanning a cold email. Brevity isn't laziness, it's respect for their time. A 4-sentence pitch that gets read is infinitely more effective than a 400-word essay that gets deleted.
The length communicates something, too. A short pitch says, I'm confident enough in my value that I don't need to bury you in details. A long pitch says, I'm hoping that if I throw enough information at you, something will stick. It's the difference between the surgeon who says, I can fix this, here's the plan, and one who hands you a textbook and asks you to figure it out.
The confidence signal matters more than the content in many cases. Hiring managers are pattern matching for competence. Conciseness is a competence signal. If you can distill your value into 4 sentences, you can probably distill a complex project update into a slide. You can probably write a clear client email. You're signaling a whole set of professional skills in the structure of the pitch itself.
Let me pull on a thread I've been thinking about. We're talking about all these tactics, the 4-sentence model, the follow-up cadence, the tracking system, and they all share one assumption, that there's a human on the other end making decisions. But that's changing. Google's Help Me Write and Microsoft Copilot for Outlook are increasingly summarizing and filtering incoming emails before a human ever sees them. The next frontier for cold pitching might be writing for 2 audiences simultaneously, the AI filter and the human reader.
That's an unsettling thought. Because the AI filter is optimizing for different things than the human reader, it might be looking for keyword matches, sentiment signals, or compliance flags. A pitch that would charm a human hiring manager might get deprioritized by the filter before it ever reaches them.
Which means cold pitchers might eventually need to reverse engineer the filtering algorithms, the same way SEO people reverse engineer Google. It becomes a kind of inbox optimization. And that's a world where the personal touch might actually become a liability if the algorithm doesn't know how to value it.
Or it becomes a premium signal. If 95% of inbox email is AI-generated or AI-filtered, a human-crafted message becomes conspicuous. It stands out because it doesn't pattern match. The algorithms might actually amplify the human-written pitches because they're anomalous.
The lo-fi girl of corporate outreach. So analog it becomes novel.
I think we're a few years away from that being a real problem, but it's worth watching. For now, the human touch is still the differentiator. And the data backs that up. Human-written pitches consistently outperform AI-generated ones in response rates, even when the AI version is grammatically perfect. There's something in the rhythm of human writing, the slight asymmetry, the unexpected word choice, that algorithms can't quite replicate and readers can't quite articulate, but definitely notice.
Let's consolidate this into something actionable. We've covered the structure, the warmth, and the tracking. What does someone do tomorrow morning?
First, before writing a single word, spend 30 minutes researching the company. Find their biggest challenge: product reviews, Glassdoor complaints, recent funding, hiring patterns. Your pitch should address that challenge directly, not a generic compliment. If you can't find a specific challenge in 30 minutes, you haven't looked hard enough or you're targeting the wrong company.
Second, the 4-sentence model is non-negotiable. Contextual hook, value proposition, social proof, low friction ask. Practice writing pitches in this format until it becomes automatic. If you can't fit your value into 4 sentences, you haven't thought hard enough about what you actually offer. Do the hard work of editing before you ask someone else to do the hard work of reading.
Third, build your tracking system before you send your first pitch. A simple Notion database with the columns I mentioned. Review it every Sunday evening for 15 minutes. Treat cold pitching like a sales pipeline, because that's exactly what it is. If you're not tracking, you're not learning. And if you're not learning, you're just sending emails into the void and hoping.
Fourth, for freelancers, the diagnostic audit model is your highest converting format. Offers something free and low risk. A 30-minute review with 3 actionable recommendations. Let the quality of your thinking sell the engagement. The conversion math is on your side. And don't be afraid to be specific in the audit. Vague praise is forgettable. Specific criticism, delivered constructively, is memorable.
Fifth, use AI for research and drafting assistance, but never for the final pitch. The human touch is what cuts through the noise. If a recruiter can tell an AI wrote it, and they can, 89% of the time, you've already lost. Think of AI as your research intern, not your spokesperson. It can gather the raw materials, but you have to build the house.
There's something almost paradoxically old-fashioned about all of this. In an era of AI-generated everything, the competitive advantage is being more human, not less. More specific, not more scalable. The cold pitch that works is the one that couldn't have been sent to anyone else.
That's ultimately the unifying principle behind everything we've discussed. The structure, the follow-ups, the tracking, they're all in service of one idea, make the recipient feel like the only person you're talking to. Even if you're running a pipeline of 50 contacts, each interaction has to feel singular. That's the art. The systems are just there to make sure the art actually happens consistently.
The hidden job market isn't hidden because companies are secretive. It's hidden because most people never ask the right way. The cold pitch is a permission slip to be considered, but only if you earn the permission in the first 7 seconds.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1840s, a French entomologist documented that a single square centimeter of a morpho butterfly's wing contains approximately 1,500 overlapping nanoscale ridges, structures that scatter light to produce their iridescent blue without a single pigment molecule.
1,500 ridges per square centimeter on a butterfly. And I'm sitting here struggling to fold a fitted sheet.
It's structural color. The same principle that makes a soap bubble shimmer, but engineered by evolution over millions of years. Every ridge is precisely spaced to amplify blue wavelengths and cancel out everything else. It's an optical computer on a wing.
The butterfly is basically running a more sophisticated light show than anything we can manufacture, and it does it with zero energy input, just physics and patience. Here's the question I want to leave listeners with. As AI gets better at mimicking human writing, and it will, how long does the personal touch remain a differentiator? At what point do we need some kind of verification that a human actually wrote the pitch? And what does that verification even look like?
The deeper question is whether we're heading toward a world where cold outreach requires proof of humanity the way some online communities require proof of work. A CAPTCHA for career ambition, and I don't think that's as far-fetched as it sounds. We already have automated systems screening resumes for keywords. The next logical step is automated system screening for authenticity signals. It's an arms race where the nuclear option is just.
For now, the answer is simpler than that. Write like a person who cares. Do the research. Keep it short. Follow up with value. Track what works. The bar has risen. But the people willing to clear it are still a tiny fraction of the people hitting send. And that's the opportunity. While everyone else is trying to automate their way to a job offer, you can win by being the one person in the inbox who actually sounds like a person.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for the fact and the production.
If this episode helped you think differently about cold outreach, share it with someone who's job hunting. And if you're hiring, maybe keep an eye on your inbox. The next great hire might not have applied.
I'm Herman Poppleberry.
I'm Korn. We'll catch you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, alive.
stay curious, keep weird in mind.